1027 Business with Michael Avery.
Education is undergoing a massive transformation at the moment. In part, it's technology driven, and I think as a parent, I certainly question the current pedagogy and teaching methods and whether they are indeed fit for purpose in the 21st century. And it has been just over 11 years since Sir Ken Robinson's education TED talk went viral, certainly encapsulating much of those thoughts. Now, my next guest has been living his transformative purpose in his career in education for a lot longer than that. Residents of Joburg's northern suburbs will recognize him as a leading expert in the field of education in the country. He's principal of Crawford College, Lone Hill, or former principal, I should say, and former MD of Redham House. Sean Fuchs, CEO and founder of Centennial Schools. Welcome to Hot Business.
Thank you, Michael. It's nice to be on the show.
Well, I've just started reading your autobiography over my birthday weekend, and I found it such an incredibly inspiring story. So we're going to have you back on talking about this. But you're launching Centennial Schools now, and we really are focusing on that at the moment. What are the gaps in the current education system that you saw that led you to vision out the Centennial Schools model?
Michael, I think there are a number of gaps, certainly in all sectors, but in education, there are substantial gaps. We sort of inherited our education system out of the Industrial Revolution, where we needed to put workers into factories. And in most education environments, very little has changed. So for me, having had almost 30 years of experience in education, to be able to come in and create from sort of a greenfields platform a school that I think is fit for purpose in a post-COVID environment, really starting in 2022, has been incredibly exciting. The pedagogy of what takes place in the classroom, in other words, the methodology of teaching, needed to change. And so what we did is we changed spaces, we changed the learning space so that the classroom no longer was a classroom, but became the learning hub. And the process of what the teacher's doing with the student in the classroom changes. So that was an ideal opportunity for us to get in and create an environment where we could change that specifically. I think what's important to note is it's not about bringing in new curriculum. We still follow CAPS. Our students will write the IB examination, but the process is what's going to change.
It sounds like a far more engaged process, as you say, putting the learner at the center versus the industrial system, which was probably the other way around. And I see that you're saying that Centennial Schools is reimagining today's schools. How so? Tell us about how it's reimagining the school of today.
I always look at other industries, and education is certainly an industry. I'm in the business of education. Every school's in the business of education. Yet around us, we find that the work environment has changed. Technology changes. We're talking about the fourth industrial revolution. Yet within education, are we teaching to that fourth industrial revolution? In some areas, we are, but I don't believe that we're doing it fast enough, and I don't believe that we're meeting the needs of what our students need. So for us, the reimagining is the creative part of really taking education and putting it onto a different level that, as you say, focuses strongly on the students. We have this belief that if we could go 10, 15 years down the line, we would look back and we would see that our students literally 100% would go to university, and probably a high percentage, 80, 90% of those students would go on to go to sort of post-grad education. Why? Because how we're going to treat them and work with them from the beginning is gearing them towards university. And that's the type of education that I think we need in this country.
And you mentioned learning hubs earlier, and I want to imagine this. I need to come and kick the bricks, I think, to get a real sense of it. But you speak about these learning hubs in your material as well on the website. What is the difference here between a traditional classroom, kind of four walls, brick and mortar, and these learning hubs that you've created when it comes to enhancing the student learning experience?
The space is dynamic. It's not a space that you would imagine in a traditional school classroom environment. which is why we moved away from calling it a classroom. So your learning hub is big. As I think I've mentioned, it's over 100 square meters. The seating is different. So we have Mobi chairs. The Mobi chairs are very easily transformed into different spaces. The teacher coming in, and by the way, our students remain in the learning hub. The teachers move. We've seen that happening now during the pandemic and the lockdowns where schools have gone back, where students remain within the classroom, but the teachers move. And that makes complete sense because we had a system where we let's move 600 students around the school as opposed to 40 or 50 teachers. And so that's what we've done. We've rather kept the students in the classroom and we move the teachers. So the learning space itself shifts. You have, as I mentioned, your Mobi chairs. You have higher chairs where students can sit, almost like barstool type of chairs. You have a higher desk where students can stand. We've become quite scientific in how we researched this. We understood that students who choose to stand in classes, not all the classes or lessons, but in most of their lessons, over a two-year period, the research has shown they have a body mass index of 5.21 different to students who choose to sit. So for us, the wellness of our students is absolutely important.
And that's been a central theme to your personal journey as well, with your father owning gyms and you also being something of a fitness freak in your youth as well and into your future, water polo coach, very well known. So all of these things, and I think, you know, to your earlier point, COVID has shone a fresh spotlight on how we integrate mental wellness, physical wellness, all of these things. But technology too and innovation, I think, are central to this centennial school model. How has this been incorporated into the school?
Michael, the one thing I want to be clear on is that the technology does not run the pedagogy of what we do. So the technology enhances the learning process, it accelerates it, and we use it as a tool within the learning hub, within the learning space. So that's an important statement to make. But we take it, and in a traditional environment, your teacher would teach, you would have a front of class. In centennial schools, there's no front of class. Because the classroom shifts and the space is dynamic, the front of the class could be anywhere. So we have each student with a laptop. On that, we have a school management system. Within that management system, we have a learning management system. And our lessons are always prepared 2 to 3 weeks in advance. So a student at any point in time can log on. They can see the entire lesson. They can reflect on the lesson once they leave. If you have a student who needs to suddenly travel somewhere with a family, an emergency or whatever it is, our times are changing so much, it's not an issue because they will have the full lesson with them all the time. And so we're using that technology to continue to accelerate the learning process.
I mean, if we have it available, it's just not daft not to use it to augment the whole learning experience. And, you know, when it comes to technology, it's so pervasive in our lives. I've got a 7-year-old daughter who just recently turned 7 a couple of days ago. She was the best birthday present I could have ever asked for 7 years ago. But what does she want for her birthday? An Xbox. She wants to play Minecraft. And I think esports is a rapidly growing theme. And we think of the likes of Tencent, the biggest holding in NASPAS. It's one of the major players here. And you've got, I believe, the biggest schools esports arena in Africa. Tell us about it.
Yes, we were looking because we adapted to our particular space. So we were looking for something that I think created a difference, and esports is a multi-billion-dollar industry, and particularly big at the universities, and it's starting to come into the schools. What we didn't want is we didn't want to take a computer center and then double up as an esports arena afterwards. So we built this 300 square meter esports arena with a competitive stage. With a lab of 30 computers. We've partnered with Asus and their brand of their gaming brand called ROG, or Republic of Gamers. So they're part of us. And it's incredibly exciting. It's something I've had to learn as well. You know, one of the interesting things that came out of the research in putting this together was maybe, Michael, when you and I grew up, and I think I might be a little bit older than you, but when I grew up, we wanted to be a fireman, or we wanted to be a policeman, or we wanted to be a teacher. And today, the research is showing that the students, that what they're saying, they want to be an influencer. They want to be a creator. So it's a completely different environment. And what we're doing is we're taking, again, that technology, the gaming. We're putting gamification into our curriculum. We're using Minecraft, we're using Fortnite, and we have a dedicated teacher who is a semi-professional gamer himself, who is dedicated just to the center and working with teachers in gamifying lessons, whether it's off, it could be language, it could be science, it could be history, it doesn't matter. We have the ability and the technology and the games to be able to incorporate that into the curriculum. So I think that is really a good separator for us.
It really, and it speaks exactly to what my Emma said to me just before her seventh birthday. I said, Daddy, I want to be a YouTuber. I was like, what? What does that even mean? But it's exactly that. I want to influence. I want to create content. It's all online. And that is really a future proofing your children by offering the ability to develop those skills. Sean, just in conclusion, what is your timeline to market here? And how can people find out a little bit more about what you're doing at Centennial Schools?
So, Michael, we have two open days, but we're open all the time. But we have two specific open days this coming Saturday from 9 a.m. till 2 p.m. And as well as the following Saturday, the 4th of September, the same times. The best for us, because we obviously have COVID protocols in place, is to book through our website, which is centennialschools.co.za. If you can't make the open days, then you can through the same website book an interview. So we would do a personalized interview and a tour of the campus. And that's really the easiest way to get a hold of us.
Sean Fox, CEO and founder of Centennial Schools. I really look forward to coming and kicking the bricks at the latest education offering to hit Johannesburg's northern suburbs. You're listening to Hot Business.
Hot 102.7 Business with Michael Avery.